Auburn goes into Coleman Coliseum and proves they're the number one team in the country as they take down the Tide 94-85. Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Barn Hoops Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and boy, oh boy, what a fun ride that game was yesterday. Auburn goes into Coleman Coliseum, number one versus number two. In some polls, number one versus number one. And just shows that they're the best team in the country and flexes on Alabama. Knocks them off, gives them their second conference loss of the year as Auburn takes the solo lead in the SEC standings. We'll break down every single aspect of the game here shortly, but before we do that, we got to give a shout out to Uncle Keith's Red Sauce. Go to UncleKeith'sRedSauce.com. Use coupon code TheBarn25 to take 25% off your order. I know Uncle Keith was hooping and hollering yesterday. I know Uncle Keith was fired up. So if you want to celebrate with him, best way to do it, get you some salsa. Get you some salsa, fresh, locally made, no preservatives, no additives, just really good, almost totally product. You're not getting a bunch of additives. It's just product. Really good stuff. They got mild. They got spicy. You can get it online or you can go to any Publix in the state of Alabama. If you're in Auburn, you just about can't go anywhere without getting it. So they got it at Kroger. They got it at Ace Hardware, all the Publix. It's really good stuff. So show an Auburn family some love. Uncle Keith's Red Sauce, UncleKeithsRedSauce.com. Let's jump into it, man. Auburn goes into Coleman Coliseum. I've already said it a couple of times. They do what they've done the last three games, getting out to a big lead early. I wish you could bottle that up and maintain it for the whole season, the whole game, because the script, I know in football we call it the script. The script in basketball, whatever they start off with, is spectacular. Auburn opens up with a 9-0 run. And then never gives up the lead. I think this is crazy. The very first time in Nate Oates' career at Alabama, at home, he never led for 1 second of the game. There was a couple of ties, but I think the total amount of time that the game was tied, including the very beginning of the game, was under 2 minutes. Auburn controlled the game from start to finish. There was some times where Alabama made some runs. You knew they were. I went on WNSP Radio and Mobile on Thursday before the game, and I told that they said, you know, what kind of lead would you feel safe with at Alabama? And I said, there is no lead. Auburn got up to as much as 14 or 15 points at one point. They just score so fast. They score so quickly. They get the ball up the court just insanely fast. Like, after we score, you have to be back because there's almost no chance to even do a full court press with them. They're getting it in and they're like sprinting down the court. They want to get a lot of shots off. And man, they can just score. They can score in bunches. And they did it. They did a few times, but the defense at all, the offensive, Auburn's defensive performance just really, really stifled them. Really, really made the difference in this game. Again, Auburn starting out with a 9-0 run. They battled back and forth a little bit, and they ended the first half 94-85. I'm sorry. They ended the first half up 9 points. So you're up 42-33 at halftime. You're feeling really good. I think you ended up hitting a shot right there at the end, too, to kind of go up 242-33. Just every single phase, you're playing really well. You're shooting really well. Janai Broome is doing well. He hit two big threes just to open up, which I would rather him not shoot that many, but hey, they went in this time and they were the first two of the game. Boom, boom. One on a really awesome rebound by Dylan Cardwell. Offensive rebound, second chance, kicked it out to him. A little one dribble. Step back three over Cliff, triple single, Omiari, and we were off and running from there. Just playing really good basketball, and then you open up the second half, and Alabama really, really, the first half, they couldn't hit anything. They didn't shoot well the whole game. And we'll talk about the stats here in just a second. But they couldn't really hit anything all game. But the second half, they kind of, you knew eventually some of the threes would start falling. And they did a little bit in the second half. And they kind of cut it to, they cut it to where they tied the game up a few times. And then there was a run. It was about 9 or 10 minutes to go in the game where both teams, if I'm not mistaken, there were 6 threes hit in a row back and forth. I think that's correct. It's either 5 or 6 threes in a row that we hit in that were hit in a row back and forth. It was incredible. Like I'm talking about elite basketball, elite shooting. Sears hit one. Todd hits one. Youngblood hits one. Chad hits one. Like they just keep going. They kept going back and forth. And it Auburn, every time they would mount a run, Auburn would bounce back and answer. It was just really, really fun basketball. But in the end, there was another play that was sort of sketchy where I felt like the game could turn late in the game. Chad gets a flagrant call, which it should have been a flagrant. There's no doubt about it. I felt like he was getting kind of pushed out of bounds. He was getting boxed down on a rebound, okay? But it was a little bit overzealous. Let's just call it that. I mean, Chad had already had a run-in with the fans. Some lady had her first basketball game she's ever been to and didn't realize, you know, players could come into the stand, I guess come into the first row of the seats. And her husband shoved Chad off of him, and Chad had something to say. And then there was some jawing back and forth. So there was already a lot of stuff going on. And then just Chad in general, he gets under people's skin. Well, there was a box out under their goal, and it was a little bit overzealous, and they kind of carried Chad out of bounds. Like it was easily a common foul, easily a foul. Well, Chad, as he's falling, you know, it's clear as day. Takes a little bit of a swipe. It wasn't hard. It wasn't like it was throwing a punch. But when it's a contact to the face like that, and it's not really a basketball play, it's pretty easy to call. So he got a tech. So Auburn was up like 8 points, but they got a free throw. They got 2 free throws and the ball. So I'm thinking, dadgummit, we had them right here towards the end. And they're going to get 4 points, cut the lead like that. Now it's, you know, super nervy heading to the end of the game. But they only end up coming out with 1 point out of that whole exchange. They hit one of the 2 free throws, and then they got the ball. And Sears, I think we had a block on Sears. He had a drive to the basket. We had a block and dodged that huge bullet. Chad was out of the game at that point in time, dodged that huge bullet, and then just continued to play how we've been playing the whole game and extended the lead. There was another nervy time where Janai missed 4 free throws in a row. They started doing the hack-a-shack thing where, you know, they're trying to extend the game. We're under a minute. Janai missed 4 in a row. And then finally we figured out a way to get the ball out, get the ball in without getting it to Janai. And I think Denver hit some shots. Miles made every single one that he had to make. Just closed it out. An incredible performance. There's a lot of talk about who should be number one. I mean, Alabama was number one in the coaches poll. Auburn was number one in the AP poll. Should the voters have kept Auburn number one after getting, you know, pretty much blown out by Florida at home? They kept them at number one, but there's still questions. Oh, Alabama's hot. They've won all these games in a row, this, that, and the other. A lot of folks felt like Alabama should have been number one. Regardless, we were going to find out last night, or we were going to find out yesterday who was number one. And Auburn silenced a lot of critics, silenced a lot of, I don't want to say critic. Look, I'm not going to pretend like everybody's been against Auburn. Auburn's gotten a lot of love, but I feel like a lot of it has been sort of just because, hell, they keep winning. I don't know how they're doing it. I don't know where it's coming from. They're playing above their – it feels like everybody feels like Auburn's playing just way above where they probably really should be. And that's what always kind of drives me a little bit crazy, because this is a really talented college basketball team, and they deserve every bit that they've gotten. And like, you look at the schedule and you look at the top 10 rankings. I mean, you are going to play the current top 10. The only team you won't play is St. John's. You're going to play Texas A&M. So you will have played eight out of the other nine top 10 teams, because you're in the top 10 as well. And you've beaten every one of them except for Duke, I guess, in Florida. So you probably won't get a chance. You won't get another chance at Florida until the SEC tournament, probably. But just game after game is just another gauntlet, another slugfest, and they just keep knocking off these great teams. And win at Alabama is big time. I'm not going to take anything away from them. They're a really good team. They're a very, very good basketball team, and they're the top 16 seed rankings came out. This was the first weekend. It's kind of like the college football playoff committee. They released their top 16 seeds. Three of the four top seeds are SEC teams. Alabama was the number two overall seed. It was Auburn, Alabama, Duke, and Florida. That's crazy, man. So you can't take away anything from Alabama. They're really good. But Auburn controlled them the whole game from start to finish. It was really great. And they closed it out. Auburn scored 52 points in the second half. And they had to, because I believe Alabama scored right at – they may have both scored – I think they both scored 52 points in the second half. So you had to score. You had to score. You had to shoot. You had to do everything that you had to do, you did. And you did it at a high level, and you went in and you had a very convincing win against a very good Alabama team. Alabama shot a pile of free throws too. So they played their game, got to the line a ton, 35 free throws. They missed a bunch too. They missed they were 26 of 35. So, I mean, that's their game though. They drive. They get foul calls. They go fast. They get you to where you may be leaning just a little bit, and then you have to initiate the contact, and that's part of their game. They want to shoot threes and get in the paint, and they did that. They did their game. They executed their game plan. Auburn just executed a little bit better. Really frustrated them on defense. We'll talk about that in just a second. But overall, just the momentum that you get from this win. Auburn has a really tough close to the season. You get three home games in a row now. Three home games in a row, and all three that you should be heavily favored in after a very tough road trip week. You go to Vandy, who was up at 1.16 points on Tennessee on Saturday. Tennessee came back and won, but Vandy, a really good Vandy team, just knocked off a bunch of teams at their place. Then you go to Alabama, who just doesn't lose at Tuscaloosa. I say that, but they lost to Ole Miss. They lost to Ole Miss at home too. So, but they don't typically lose in Tuscaloosa. It was a sellout crowd. They were loud. They were fired up, and didn't matter. Didn't matter. Them boys went in there. They walked in their trap and they took over their trap. That was the song that was being played. I've never heard that song, but I like it. I like it now. I'm going to have to put that one on the playlist. Walked in their trap, took over their trap. It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. All right, let's talk about defense. And to me, the matchup of the game was Denver Jones and Mark Sears. I know I joked about him. I called him Dr. Mark. And mostly that was not saying that he's not a great college basketball player. It was along the storyline that Alabama has all these NBA guys and Auburn's doing what they're doing with a bunch of scrubs. And so I was going through everybody on the Alabama roster, and I called him Dr. Mark Sears because he's been in college forever. But he's a good player, man. He's a good player. He can get to the basket better than I think I would say anybody in college basketball. I don't think there's anybody in college basketball that can get to the basket and get a shot off and make a lot of them better than Mark Sears. He gets to the basket. He gets to the line. He did those things tonight, but Denver Jones made it an absolute nightmare. Denver Jones made Mark Sears' life completely miserable. I was so freaking proud of Denver Jones. I mean, it was everywhere Mark Sears went, Denver was in his hip pocket. And it showed on the stats. I mean, Mark Sears shoots, about 35% from three, close to 40% overall, I think, from the field. I mean, you know, pretty solid scorer. He was give me a second. He was 2 of 11. So like 11% from three, and 4 of 17 overall in the 20s as far as field goal percentage goes. Frustrated the crap out of him. Denied passing lanes. Stayed in front of him. Made him have to earn it. It was just a really, really incredible defensive performance. There's just not many guys that can stay in front of Mark Sears like that. There's not many guys that can do it for 40 minutes. There's not many guys that can just go toe-to-toe with him and not give him the breathing room, not give him the space to pull those threes. I mean, one of the threes he made, he had to shoot from like damn near half court. He was just getting no air, like there was no oxygen. Denver Jones was absorbing all of it. And it paid off. It paid off. It kept Mark a little bit frustrated, a little bit off his game, turned it over a couple of times. Heck, I think it even frustrated him at the line. Typically, he's an 83% free throw shooter. He was 8 of 11, missed three from the line, 72%. I mean, all in all, I just could not have been happier with the performance from Denver Jones. I mean, he knew he had a tall task. And he went in there, and I think I'm just going to say it. I think he outplayed him. I'm on both sides. I think he outplayed him on the defensive side, and he outplayed him on the offensive side. Denver Jones continues to make me look like a genius. Denver Jones continues to make me look like maybe I know a little bit about ball, or nothing else. This team goes as Denver Jones goes. He was quiet offensively in the first half. And then he exploded in the second half. You could see they had some deliberate sets to get him some shots, and he made three threes in a row. He was 3 of 5 from three. Those were the three he made. Boom, boom, boom. Three in a row. Banked one in. Don't even know what's going on. I mean, what do you do when that happens? You just got to eat it. You just got to wear it. Had three big free throws there at the end, two big ones at the end. Had a nice, pretty little floater that went in, played 31 minutes. I mean, created a couple of turnovers with Mark Sears. I mean, one in general. And then he does the thumbs down to the fans, which if Denver is pretty quiet typically when it comes to trash talking, like you don't think of Denver Jones when you think about trash talking or think about him when you think about anybody possibly getting a tech or sportsmanship, bad sportsmanship or whatever. So when he's doing it, it's on. When he's doing it, it's on. He's feeling it. But man, oh man, Denver Jones. I think he's the heart and soul of this team. This team goes as he goes. He's playing out of position, but he's doing it at a championship level. And last night he was spectacular. 16 points. 16 points, just played unreal. And then great defensive effort too. Got to have Denver Jones, playing well. And you got to have him shooting well as playing defense. When he shoots well, Auburn cannot be beat. When Denver Jones hits threes, Auburn can't be beat. I don't want to be too hard on Aiden because look, it is what it is. Aiden Holloway, it is what it is. He was at Auburn. He struggled at Auburn. He left. And had he left and not really said anything, I don't think I would care. I would care that much. But he had to say, he had to kind of take a dig at Bruce. And I think he's tried to sort of walk it back since then. They did a little pregame thing about him on game day, and he complimented Auburn as a program and blah, 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 blah. But we don't forget, Aiden. We don't forget the whole "he sold me a dream" stuff. And if, like I said on Twitter, if Bruce sold you a dream, then this must have been part of the nightmare. Because Aiden did not have a great night. And I could not have been more happy that he had a bad night. It was sort of validation for a lot of Auburn fans that, yes, Aiden's having a great year. He's a great college two guard in this system. He's shooting really well. But we're like, man, when you put some pressure on him, that's what we saw last year. When you put a little pressure on him, it's tough. He's just a smaller guy, and he struggles. And he struggled a little bit last night, and it ended with something that could not have been even better. It was an air ball. His last shot of the game was an air ball that it would have been a three that wouldn't have made a ton of difference, but it, you know, could have made things a little bit more interesting. He was 3 of 8 from the field, 1 of 4 from three, couple of turnovers, 4 fouls. Just not a great night. Not a great night that he's had. He's been having. Not a night that he's this more along the lines of how he's been playing. And I was just happy to see that. I was happy to see that Auburn could shut him down. Because hey, let's be honest. We needed that validation. Man, we hated to see, we let Aiden go, and look, he's going over here and he's having a really good year. Well, this is what we expected. You know, when you play a really good team and they can put clamps on him, he's just gonna struggle at that size, especially at the two guard. Now, if he could play point, he could be a little bit more effective. But man, when you're playing two guard, you're playing guys that are, you know, 6'4", 6'5", freak athletes. I mean, it just makes it really, really tough. So that had to be tough for Aiden. That had to be a tough tough go. And I'm not mad that it happened that way. Just around the rest of the box score, I mean, obviously you had Janai Broom, had a big night. 19 points, 14 rebounds. He had a double-double in the first half. I mean, just dominant. Hit a couple of clutch ones right there at the end too, a little dagger jump hooks. When they were trying so hard to scratch back into the game late, he hit some shots, and he let everybody know about it, let the fans know about it, let everybody know about it. Played 33 minutes. He got, you know, rolled his ankle again, fought through that. Just overall, I mean, gosh, 19, 14, and 6. This is what I'm talking about when I'm talking about Janai Broom player of the year stuff. Look at the competition he's playing, and he keeps going out every night and producing at an incredibly high level. Give this guy some love, man. Give this guy, I mean, we got to, I don't want to say give this, everybody gives him some love, but like, this is serious player of the year type stuff. Serious player of the year type stuff against some of the best teams in the country. He keeps doing it every single night. Miles Kelly, 15 points. He hit the opening 2 threes of the game. He was a little bit quiet after that, but he had some really big rebounds. I mean, 8 rebounds. He's one of the, you know, he was the second leading rebounder on the team. He always seems to make some really key rebounds, has really accepted his role on defense as well. Really good defensively, just a really good game from him. Dylan Carwell fouled out early in the second half. Only had 2 points, but I thought he had some really key rebounds and some big defensive plays. Again, one of his offensive rebounds at the beginning of the game ended up turning into 3 points from Janai Broom. So Dylan fouled out, but he still played his Dylan game. To Hyde hit a big three in that little back and forth slugfest moment of the game, portion of the game. 13 points, hit some big free throws late when he had to hit them. And then Chad Baker-Mazzara, another great offensive game, 15 points. He kind of woke back up a little bit. and played a little bit better. He had a really pretty and one off the top of the glass play that was just gorgeous. Hit all five of his free throws. Hit a big three in that whole back and forth exchange, two or three from three. Really good game from him. And then Chaney Johnson, boy, oh boy, he just continues to play really, really well. 14 points, five rebounds, two big threes, which is, you know, not something you typically want to lean on him to do. But I would imagine his three-point percentage is getting up there. I'd have to look at it, but I would imagine his three-point percentage is well in the 30s. He's starting to be able to not only just hit threes in general, but hitting some pretty clutch threes too. He had a clutch three to kind of grab the lead back against Vanderbilt, and he hit a couple of big threes, obviously, last night as well. So really good game from him. Yeah, I mean, when you have one, two, three, four, five, six guys in double figures spreading the love, Auburn's going to be tough to beat. 94 points, really good percentage shooting-wise, 46% from the field, 40% from three. Janai was terrible from the line, 3 of 9. That's what really brought down the free throw percentage, because otherwise you had Janai and Dylan who missed two. Otherwise, you just about didn't miss any. All the guards just lit it up from the line. Chaney hit his two free throws. Everything you got to do to win on the road, Auburn did it. So a lot of fun. We're going to talk about it again, I'm sure, tonight on the live. Hopefully, Dap and Zach can join, and we'll have a lot of fun. Guys, this is big. It's a big win. Enjoy it. Enjoy it, man. You got a good homestand coming, and as you get closer to close out this season. I saw somewhere where they're projecting that if Auburn were just to win two more games, they lock a number one seed. It is not even March yet, guys. We have several games left to go in February. Pretty cool. Pretty awesome. Pretty special season. I really appreciate you guys listening. If you like the video, like it. If you like the channel, subscribe to it. Follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5. We'll be back soon. It's another episode of the Barn Hoops Podcast.